But we've been talking about relationships for a long time. And the reason that we've been talking about relationships is if you, this is where we launched, you will not miss God's plan for your life because of your lack of gifting or your lack of anointing. You can have an awesome gift, you can have an awesome anointing, but if you fail, it'll usually be because of relationships. And so we've been really looking at some things about relationships for a few weeks, but I want to share some things with you today. I want us to look for just a few moments at how Jesus handled relationships, how Jesus dealt with people. If you can get a hold of the CDs that we've been, of these teachings on relationships, it would do you good. They've been some very good, helpful material. But today I want us to just look for a couple moments and pull some principles out of how Jesus dealt with people. Obviously, 95% of your problems are going to be with people. Really, I'm convinced there's only two problems that you have. There's two things that you're going to have problems with most of the time. People and your wallet. And interestingly enough, if you're struggling in either one of those areas, you're struggling everywhere. When you have money issues, it affects every area of your life. Every area. That's the thing that's the most stressful about it. Because, you know, if it's a money issue, you think, well, I'm going to go down and relax a little bit. Oh, I can't go down and relax a little bit. I don't have any money. I don't have any gas. So it really affects every area of your life. Relationships are the same way. Relationships affect every area of your life. Unless you live in a cave or you're living under a rock, you have to deal with people. And I'm convinced that people, I don't like this, don't think I like it, but I'm convinced of it. People are God's tools to conform us to His image. The knuckleheads, the difficult people, that's what God uses to conform us to His image. And many times, I'm finding that what is going on with people, what's going on with relationships, what you see in someone else that really annoys you, is the Holy Spirit showing you something that's in you. So if a lot of people annoy you, then there's a lot in you that the Lord's trying to deal with. And what we tend to do is rebuke the devil when this happens. But in reality, the Lord uses relationships to show me something about me. That's terrible. Because by nature, when we have relationship issues, we focus on what they're doing wrong. When the reality is, many times the Lord is pointing a finger on something that He wants to change in us, and they're the tool that He uses. Many times what offends us, see, we're supposed to be becoming dead. The more dead we become, the more His life flows through us. Except a seed falls into the ground and dies, it cannot produce fruit. So the Lord is trying to kill us. The devil is also. One of them is going to get it done. The question is, which one are you going to allow to do it? But the Lord wants to get us into a place where we're dead. Now how do you know when you're dead? How do you know when you've come to the place of conforming to His image and you've come to that place where you are, it's no longer you that lives, but it's Him? You won't be offended. Any place in your life where offense comes shows you where you're still not dead. Offense in your life indicates the place God is putting His finger in you. That's not a fun message. But when I get offended, it doesn't necessarily say something about them. It says something about me. Yes, it may be true that they have this issue. But that's between them and the Lord. What the Lord is working on is my response to the issue. And many times my response will be greater to something that's in me. Ooh, it's quiet. So I think we need to start asking ourselves, when we begin to be highly irritated or bothered by what we see in another person, what we really need to do is stop and think, uh-oh. First thing what we should do is think, is that in me? Is that thing in me? Because a lot of the times it's the Holy Spirit showing me my own heart. And if I allow Him to deal with what's in me, their issue is no longer that big a deal to me. Because I'll allow the Lord to kill me in that area. And if I'm killed in that area, I don't even pay much attention to it in somebody else. Not fun. But so many people run into relationships that rub them the wrong way, and they run. That's why you go from church to church to church to church, some people. And I'm finding that if I repeat something 40 times, the common denominator is me. If it keeps happening, it might be me. And I may need to put my heart before the Lord and say, "Hey, Lord, help me change." Particularly if you're always getting offended, you're probably the one with the issue. So let's just look a little bit about some principles from Jesus and how He dealt with relationships and people. The number one thing you notice about Jesus is this. Jesus knew who He was, and He knew His purpose. He said in John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. And here He tells you why He came. He knew why He was on this earth. He said, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." He knew His whole purpose for being here was to give life to others. And then in John 6:38, He said, "I've come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me." Jesus knew what He was on the planet for. Now, what's my point? It's very important. You need to know who you are and what your purpose is in order to choose relationships properly. Do you know why most conflicts come in relationships? You're dealing with an insecure person. Insecurity. It's hard to have a relationship with a person who doesn't know who they are. They're jealous. They're fearful. They're scared. They don't want you. I mean, they're afraid of you having relationships with anybody else. What really is the issue, though? They don't know who they are. Now, some of us in this room have built relationships with people who don't know who they are. It's difficult. And if we're going to be good at relationships, I believe that starts with us knowing who we are. Because you can see it all the time. When somebody's struggling with identity themselves, usually they talk too much, number one. You get a sense when you're around them that they're trying to impress you. You know why? Because they are. Because they're not sure about themselves. They're not sure who they are. And that comes across in their relationships. Trying to impress people. Well, what are you really saying? You don't know who you are. Our house is a John Wayne house. If you want to know the dialogue to the movies, just ask. Because we can't tell you what they're going to say before they say it. And yesterday, one of my favorite ones is Rio Bravo. It's got Ricky Nelson in it. And of course, Ricky Nelson is this very young man who is very good with a gun. And there's a conversation that happens between John Wayne and Dean Martin, I believe, and the question that is asked is this young man, can he keep up with, is he really as good as I'm hearing he is? Well, the response of John Wayne is, yes, I believe he is. Why do I believe that he is? Because he has no need to prove it. He knows who he is, so he doesn't have to try to impress you. He knows he can shoot you fast. Think about that. It's usually the people that are striving on the inside, not knowing who they are, that are pushing so hard. Some of you need to relax. Some of you are pushing, striving, because you don't know who you are. But Jesus knew who he was and what his mission was. So he handled relationships differently. So one of the first keys to relationships is I've got to have a proper view of myself. I'm telling you right now, people who don't have a proper view of themselves are hard to have relationships with. And if you want to be a better relationship person, you need to find out who you are. You make wrong relationship choices if you don't have a clear sense of purpose. You make wrong relationship choices if you don't have a proper self-image. Oh, if I could only help all the young girls in the world. You pick your mate based on your self-image. I should probably say that again. I'm going to say it another way. You pick all your relationships based on your self-image. You pick your friends based on your self-image. You ever been in a circle that you feel like is above you? You don't belong in this circle. I'm not good enough to be in this circle. All of a sudden, I'm a hillbilly and I'm with the snobby people. Feels uncomfortable. But whether you realize it or not, we make our relationship decisions based on our own self-image. And if my self-image does not line up with God's self-image of me, I'm going to make poor relationship choices. This is why some people just have a way of just following people that abuse them. They just follow people that abuse them, and it just goes on for years and years. If there's an abuser in the crowd, they'll become into relationship with them. What's the issue? They're making their relationships based on their own self-image, and Jesus knew who he was. He knew his purpose. Very important. Another thing is this. Jesus chose his relationships. He didn't allow them to just happen. Think about that for just a moment. Most of the time, we don't put much thought into who we have relationship with. They just happen to show up in our lives, and we went along for the ride. And boy, was it a ride. We ignored the red flags. You really shouldn't allow friends to choose you. You should choose your friends. See, we tend to disconnect our brain when it comes to relationships. Jesus did not do that. He chose his relationships. He made a choice about relationships. If you look, Matthew 4:18. Now as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And then we go on down about verse 20, it says, immediately they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a boat. You know the story. He called them, said, follow me. How did Jesus get 12 disciples? He chose them. He didn't just think. He didn't just let them come to him and say, "Ooh, I think I'd be a good disciple for you." If you allow people to do that, you will not get a good result. That's why most of the time, if people come to me trying to telling me how great they are at something and how they need to fulfill that role in the church, it's probably not going to happen here. Because if you're that good, somebody's going to figure it out. You won't have to be running around trying to prove it. Your gift will make room for you. And you know why things, I believe one of the reasons that things run the way they do here at Freedom House, we don't have a lot of tension in the atmosphere. We don't have a lot of tension among leaders. You know why? I just told you why. I never really thought it, but I can tell you right now, there's not a person in a position at Freedom House who approached us about being in the position. We chose them. And we only chose them once they proved their faithfulness. I don't know if you realize that or not. Not a single person who touches an instrument, sings, or anything came to us. There's a relationship principle here. You want to get promoted? Be faithful. You want to not get promoted? Come auditioning for a position. Because in this house, we're not looking for position, we're building relationships. And I don't know if you realize that or not, but that's very important. So Jesus picked his relationships. He chose his inner circle. Now I'm going to tell you something. You know, I don't know if you realize this or not, but I can know you without ever knowing you. All I have to do is look at your relationship. I don't even have to have the Holy Spirit. I can just look at your relationships. Your relationships reveal who you are. Because birds of a feather your relationships reveal who you are. If you don't have any relationships, that reveals something also. Do you see that? You can look at who's around a person and know who they are. And this goes back to a leadership law, which we'll discuss sometime, maybe in our next mentoring meeting. But Jesus chose his inner circle, and it's the inner circle. If you are a leader, it's not the leader who makes it happen. The people closest to the leader determine how effective he will be. And if you want to know about a leader, don't look at him, look who's around him. The quality of people around the leader will show you who he is. So it is with you. So Jesus didn't allow relationships just to happen. He chose them. Choose who you get close to. And let me warn, don't ignore warning signs and red flags. If you will go back and think about relationships that have caused you pain, 9 times out of 10, you will recognize that there were red flags and you just ignored it until it became a big explosion. Don't ignore the red flags. Choose who you get close to. Don't ignore warning signs and red flags. The next thing is, the interesting thing about Jesus, I think we sometimes have a hard time with this, but Jesus chose different kinds of people. In Jesus' circle, he had a fisherman, he had a tax collector, which was automatically a no-no. Nobody wanted to hang around them. He had a doctor. Now, can you really think that somebody who is a doctor wants to sit around with somebody who's a fisherman? Jesus had variety in his relationships. Because in reality, our relationships, every relationship I've ever had has taught me something. And I can't learn from a fisherman what I can learn from a doctor. So Jesus taught us that not everybody in our relationship circle has to be alike. That means Pentecostals should have some Baptist friends. Selah. Pause and think on that. You're okay on that one. Because whether you know it or not, you're going to learn something from them and they're going to learn something from you. But Jesus portrayed this in his relationships. He didn't just go out and find people that were like him. Man. Jesus knew that these people were going to be sent forth to bring in the harvest. Yes, Lord, I do hear you. So if he would have put in his circle of relationships all those that were the same, they would have only had the capability of winning those that were the same. But when he put variety in his relationships, when he sent them, he put together a team that could affect fishermen, that could affect tax people, that could affect doctors and lawyers. See, that's why we need the church to be a body of Christ that has all different backgrounds. So that we can spread the good news of the gospel in our circle. Jesus picked people from various backgrounds to have relationship with. Man, you know that takes humility. That makes me think, if you can look at it in light of us, it's fascinating to get in relationship with somebody who has a whole different background than you. Because you know why? You can ask questions. Ask questions. I mean, can you imagine? You got a friend that's a doctor. You know you want to know what goes on when he opens up that body and he's in there messing around. We learn. So we don't need to just hang around people that are like us. We also don't need to let the news tell us what they're like. Yeah. Quit allowing the news to identify for you what blacks are like. Quit allowing the news to dictate to you what all white people are like. Quit allowing people to determine and put in your mind what all Baptists are like. Because you're going to be wrong and all Pentecostals are like. Everybody watches Charles Stanley. And I'm going to tell you right now, I somehow in my devotions, I picked up a book by Andy Stanley. And the only thing I can say is wow. One of the best books I have ever read. Difference in relationships. Got to move fast. Jesus, next principle, Jesus practiced quiet time to get away from relationships. If you stay around anybody long enough, they're going to get on your nerves. Now please hear what I'm saying to you. Luke 5:16, Jesus himself would have often slip away to the wilderness and pray. He would leave everybody and go out into a wilderness to pray. He prayed. I'm trying to tell you something. We're better at relationships when we have a strong devotional life filled with prayer and the Word. I mean, I've been spending this 2 hours a day in prayer, and I found out that some people come up to me that before I was doing that, I would have smacked them. If not on the outside, definitely on the inside. I find that I'm not as short with people when I've been with him. See, Jesus dealt with a lot of people, but he also got away and spent time in devotion to the Father. And folks, we can deal with people a lot better and handle relationships a lot better if we have a devotional life, a real one. Not just that little 5-minute one you do on the YouVersion of the Bible in the morning. If you're not doing, if you're doing that, good, it's great. But don't just do that. Okay? I'm not knocking that. But Jesus withdrew himself to the wilderness and prayed. Many conflicts arise when you are tired and exhausted. We have a saying around my house. I practiced it last night about 7 o'clock. We become hangry. Do you know what hangry is? It's when you become like a rascal and a devil because you're hungry. You're hangry. Somewhere between hungry and angry. And many conflicts arise when we're tired and exhausted. Jesus took the time to recharge himself. He edified himself. He built himself up. So the best thing we can do in concerning relationships, I believe, is to have private time in prayer and devotion. I hate to break the news to you folks, but we seem to have this mindset that we're supposed to treat everybody the same. Jesus did not do that. You might con yourself into thinking you're going to do that, but you're not. Jesus did not treat everyone the same. Go read the 4 Gospels. You'll find that he did not treat everyone the same. Look at how he treated Pharisees versus how he treated sinners. He also dealt with the crowds at a different level than he did his disciples. He did not tell the crowds his secrets, but he would come back and tell his inner circle, his disciples, secrets. He did not treat everyone the same. Big relationship key. And if you, I just feel right now the revelation coming to some people in this room. You can't treat everyone the same. I'm not going to trust everyone the same. I'm not going to bare my soul to everyone. I'm not going to tell everyone how I really feel. Because if you do, it'll usually come back and bite you. Jesus did not treat everyone the same. Another relationship thing, Jesus looked at people at the heart, not the outside. Can I tell you something? Things are not always what they appear. Go back to my story a few weeks ago about the guy who yelled at me, cussed me, knocked me off his porch. Well, it would be easy. See, it's easy for us to make a decision about people based on one interaction with them. Don't you lie to me. There are people right now that your statement is, they're a jerk. That guy's a jerk. Is that guy really a jerk? Or could there be something past what we experienced with him that day? Jesus looked at the heart. He looked at not just what was going on outwardly. There's sometimes a difference between people's behavior and their heart. Not always. And some people have wrong behavior and practices, but their heart is right. Some people have a heart that's not right, and they have hidden agendas and hidden motives. We have to get better at distinguishing between the two. Because don't join yourself to someone when you see that their heart is wrong. And don't do it in the name of Jesus and Christianity. It's foolishness. Jesus didn't treat everybody the same. Don't join yourself to someone who has a wrong heart. The scripture says don't make friends with an angry man. And when we hear that, Lord, I hear you strongly. When we hear that, we think somebody that just blows up and cusses people. So we interpret that we're not supposed to build relationship with people who go off and cuss and yell. Or what if we put that in a different perspective? Do you know somebody that's angry is often bitter Don't make relationships with people who are walking in bitterness, because it will affect you. Don't build relationships with people who are living in the struggle of being wounded from their last church. They're bitter. Don't make friends with angry people. It's quiet in here. Then next, you hear me say this one all the time. I don't know why y'all think I'm strange. I'm just like Jesus. Y'all didn't know it. Folks, in relationships, Jesus was direct and honest with people. He did not overcoddle them. They knew where he stood. You can't have good relationships and be a liar. Most people are lying and trying, thinking they're doing something good in relationships. We don't truly have a good relationship until I can look at you in the eyeball and tell you what I think. Mark 8:31-33, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He was stating the matter plainly. Well, there you go. He was stating the matter plainly. That helps relationships. He was stating the matter plainly. And Peter took him aside. Don't you get a picture of that? Peter took Jesus aside and said, "Hey, I want you to know you're wrong. Jesus, you're wrong. What you talking about, Willis?" Now look at Jesus' response. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke. Peter's rebuking Jesus. Don't you laugh, you've done it too. But turning around and seeing his disciples, this is how Jesus dealt with people. He rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan." "For you're not setting your mind on God's interests, but man's." Well, if we had relationships that way, we wouldn't have all this undercurrent and stuff swirling around. We would know where each other stood. So if I look at you and call you Satan, learn to appreciate it. Do you see it though? He was direct in his relationships. 90% of relationships or issues are caused by the fact that you're offended at somebody and you've never told them, and it's been going on for 15 years, and finally you explode and you invent cuss words or you smack them. When we could have told them 15 years ago, I need to go and teach on boundaries also. I just feel it coming. We need to take that book, Boundaries, and teach on it. We got to understand boundaries. But Jesus told him, "You think it's bad here? Nobody's ever called you Satan, I don't think." Matthew 26:33. Peter said, "Even though all may fall away because of you," Peter said, "I'll never fall away." Jesus looked him right in the eyeballs and said, "I say to you, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me 3 times. Are you understanding relationships here? He did not allow things to go that needed to be dealt with, so that it began to bring a root of bitterness and fester in his heart. I'm convinced that a lot of people have been friends with people for years that they don't even like. Now, I'm telling you the truth. Why don't you sit and really evaluate, do I even like this person? And it doesn't mean you're going to hell if you just don't like some people. You love them, you pray for them, you wish the best for them, but I don't want to hang around them. And I'm telling you right now, so many people have a circle of people. They have some friends that they don't even like. Someday you ought to realize that every time you get around certain people, you're in a bad mood. That should be a sign to you. I want to hang around people that I enjoy. I want to hang around people that I can call Satan. And they love me for it. And the relationship grows. That's people that where you have strong relationships. You may not be Satan all the time, but I'm telling you, friend, today you're acting like Satan. Get out of my way. We learn this relationship thing right, almost every person that I have ever had this kind of a candid conversation with, the relationship grew. And nothing can separate those people. Why? Because relationships are built on trust and truth. And I ought to be able to tell you, are you this kind of person? Well, where are we going to eat today?
I don't know where you want to go. We'll go wherever you want to go.
I don't know where you want to go. I don't care wherever you want to go. You know what they're going to do? They're going to pick a place you despise. And you are going to go, and on the inside you're going to be tastes like dog food. Everybody's laughing. Everybody's done it. You don't like that stinking stuff. But you don't have strength in relationship to say, oh, then that's just flat out you're going to hell on that one. That's not. That's just error and sin. But some things are just not non-negotiable. Do you get where I'm coming from? Relationships are great when you can be honest. And so many people are having friendships and relationships where they're doing stuff they don't even like because they're afraid to tell the person, I don't like this. And that's not a good relationship. Eventually it's going to blow up. When you should have just told them, no, I don't like that place. Reminds me of my dear brother one time. We went to visit some folks, and the lady comes out and says, y'all want some German chocolate cake? I'm like, no, I wouldn't care for any. No, I wouldn't care for any. No! It just so happens that I know that German chocolate cake has coconut and a bunch of ugly mess on it that makes me want to go, blah! No, never, never coconut, Lord. God, blah. Not my brother, though. I've already said no 3 times, so he says yes, and he hates it as bad as I do, but he's not smart enough to know it has that mess on top of it, and I am. He's thinking chocolate, I'm thinking coconut. Oh my God, no! Please don't say yes! And because he says yes, they bring him a big old piece. And they not only bring him a big old piece, they bring me a big old piece. And I'm telling you, I ate that for about an hour and a half trying to get it down my throat. Because I don't like it. And I'm trying to tell you, in our relationships, sometimes we're eating German chocolate cake when we don't like it just to please other people. And that's not a true relationship. I ought to be able to look at you and say, I love you, but I hate your cake. What kind of cake do I want, Jackie? White cake with white icing. I'm not prejudiced either. It's just the kind of cake I like. So, Jesus was direct with people. They knew where he stood. Oh, I got to move. Jesus addressed issues to the person's face, not behind their back. Boy, we could have great relationships if we do that. I told you a while back about Kevin dealing with me. And something went on, and Kevin pulled me over to the side and said, "Let me tell you, never again. Never again." Well, was there any questions about that? Did I need to ask any questions? Do you know what's happened? It's never happened again. But see, he could go off somewhere and be offended. Relationship breakdown. I don't even know he's offended. I'm talking about relationships. Most of our relationship issues would be over. Believe me, he didn't say he's the most pastoral one out of this crew, but he didn't sound like a pastor that day. He sounded like a good old Alabama redneck, ready to say roll tide. He said, "Don't ever do it again. Don't ever do it again." But see, folks, that makes a strong relationship. Honor comes to that. I feel quite sure he could tell you right now he's never done it again. Well, what does that show? Respect. I can be disrespecting you and not know it if you don't tell me. Communication. Directness. And I'm telling you, relationships grow if you do that. And if the person leaves, they should have been gone anyway. We ought to be that strong with people. Jesus was. Do you understand from the relationship that Jesus built with 12 people, the gospel is still going around the world? Do you get that? And he was direct and honest. He called Satan, Satan. Couple more. Jesus explained things in a way that people could understand. You realize that? He used parables. He used word pictures. And I think this is very important in relationships. We got to make sure people understand what we're saying. One of the best ways, if you're in a serious thing, is have them repeat it back to you. Tell me what I said. Say it back to me. I need to know you've got it. And Jesus did that. He spoke in parables and pictures. The greatest communicators do that. I'm not saying I'm a great communicator, but I know one thing. You may forget a lot of things, but you will not forget about German chocolate cake. You will never forget because of pictures and parables. And now when your friend starts to offend you, when you used to just act like you were going along with it to make them happy, you'll think, "German chocolate cake." The Holy Spirit will say, "German chocolate cake. German chocolate cake." Relationships. Jesus forgave the shortcomings and weaknesses of others. I don't know if you've ever really, really let this sink in Scripture, but do you know? I hate this. I don't like this statement. I really don't. Do you know Jesus still had relationship with people that had shortcomings and weaknesses? Peter? He didn't kick Peter out of his life because Peter had issues. As a matter of fact, when he rose again, he made sure, "Tell the disciples and Peter." Now, who have you had in your life that this guy named Peter resembles? One of the things I've gotten better at is just not getting people out of my life real fast. I mean, I've had a tendency to, if you get on my nerves, bye. Don't let the door hit you. Nah, my wife won't let me say that. Y'all said it. Folks, I want you to think about something else. When they sit around the table for the Last Supper, Judas was at that table. Jesus knew the whole time. I do not like this statement. You think Jesus didn't know from day one that Judas was going to betray him but served him anyway? Yuck. He knew. I'm just going to move on past this one. This one's too hard. Did you ever see that? He knew. He wasn't surprised. If I'm not mistaken, he said, go do what you got to do. That's above my pay grade. Mm-mm-mm. But he forgave people's shortcomings and he forgave the weaknesses of others. A couple more. Jesus reached out to people that other people rejected. He did. Lepers. Wasn't supposed to be hanging around lepers. Sick people, Samaritan woman. Jews are not supposed to even have a conversation with Samaritans. My God, tax collectors. IRS people. Who wants to have dinner with an IRS man? The bottom line is Jesus valued all people. And as I was talking the other night, you know, you're talking about connection. How do you connect with people? Number one, you value them. You can connect with anyone that you show value to. It's the whole key of connection. It's to show value to the person. Show them you value them and you will make a connection with them. Jesus did that. I don't know if you realize this one or not. We're talking about relationships. You know one of the number one things that kill relationships? Save me, Jesus, right where I stand. Yes, God, I admit it. Convict me, kill me, whatever you need to do. One of the number one things that affect relationship is ego. Your ego gets in the way. Not your ego, your ego. Folks, do you know that there's a script what it says about Jesus? Jesus let go of his ego. Not his ego. Let go of my ego. Jesus let go of his ego. Because in Mark 10:18, they called him good teacher. Guess what he said? He said, why do you call me good? Only my Father is good. He let go of his ego. Ego is a killer of relationships. Jesus served those he was in relationship with. He washed the disciples' feet and he said, the greatest is the one who serves. We need relationships that are built on serving, not having someone serve us. Strong relationship is about me serving you. And if we both in a relationship, I've said this about marriage, I've learned this after 20 some years. If I focused all my attention on meeting my wife's needs and she focused all her attention on meeting my needs, we probably wouldn't have any issues. But it's when I say, now you're not doing what you're supposed to do. All relationships are the same way. Focus on meeting the need instead of having the need met. That's what Jesus taught in relationships. And the last one. Jesus focused on the needs of others. Think about this now. When they were out of food, the church was in that scene because the disciples said, these guys are hungry, Lord, send them away. These guys are hungry, Lord. So let's send them out of here where there's no McDonald's within 100 miles. Maybe they'll find a road on the side of the road or something, Lord, but send them away. What they were really was saying was, Lord, we're hungry. Get them out of the way so we can eat. We don't know what they're going to do, but we're hungry. You know they did. They were saying, Jesus, we need groceries. We're Pentecostal. But Jesus would not send the multitude away hungry. Jesus said, take care of them. Don't send them away. So he was focused on meeting the needs of others.